case that we have is Miller Oil Company and Catherine Freeman. Mr. Fong.
Morning. Morning.
Gentlemen, I ask, can I just remind the other lawyers in the courtroom to please sign in on the signing sheet that my clerk has before we leave? I'm done to your left. And, Mr. Fong, you've got 15 minutes. Would you like to reserve some time for rebuttal?
5 minutes for rebuttal, Your Honor, please.
Okay, sure. And then you may begin whatever suits.
Thank you. May it please the court, I am Adam Raffel here on behalf of Miller Oil. The employer in this case contends that there are two errors in this case. The first is that the commission ordered an authorization for a change in treating physician from Dr. Bedard to Dr. Wardell. And the second is the commission made a finding that the medical treatment proposed by Dr. Wardell is causally related or necessary for the treatment of Ms. Freeman's injury. With regard to the first assignment of error, the case law says that once a claimant has established a course of treatment, employer permission or commission approval is needed for a change in treating physician. This court has enumerated six factors that may justify a change in treating physician. The first is where inadequate treatment is being rendered. Second is where specialized treatment is needed and not being provided. The third is where there is a lack of progress or improvement of the claimant's health condition without adequate explanation being shown. The fourth is where conventional modalities of treatment are not being used.
Just let me interrupt you. Can the commission basically retroactively conclude that a change in position was appropriate given one of those factors, they find one of those factors exists?
The case law, as I would interpret it, gives them the right to change a treating physician moving forward once a request has been made. It is our position in this case that the claimant, and I believe there's a stipulation contained in the record, that the
claimant... Well, the statute is required to be liberally construed to effectuate its purpose. And the purpose, of course, is to provide a recourse for employees who are hurt on the job. So it seems to me if you've got an employee who's hurt, and there's no issue about that, there's no issue that it's job-related injury, and the treatment isn't working and the physician has in effect given up, I don't see why the commission couldn't approve, even though it obviously it's better to get permission from the commission in advance, but why the commission couldn't reach the same conclusion ex post facto, if you will.
The commission, in their opinion, indicated that by their own interpretation, the lack of additional treatment recommendations may illustrate the status of the claimant's condition. So there are certain cases where a claimant may not require, an injured employee may not require additional treatment, and it is not because the treatment plan recommended by the treating physician isn't working. It's simply because the claimant does not require additional treatment. And I would argue here we're creating a dangerous precedent by allowing a change in treating physician because essentially the commission accepted the self-serving testimony of the injured worker over the treating physician.
Well, also Dr. Wardell as well.
And Dr. Wardell, I understand. One thing that in the opinion that I noticed was that the full commission did not give any credence to the case law establishing that the treating physician is due great weight. So in this particular case, it was almost as if they framed the issue as one between Dr. Wardell and Dr. Cohen, another orthopedic surgeon, without giving any credit to the opinion of Dr. Bedard, who was the recognized and authorized treating physician. And in this case, Dr. Bedard's opinion is backed up or confirmed by the opinions of two additional specialists, being Dr. Cohn and Dr. LaMarche, a neurologist. Dr. Cohn, when he performed his independent evaluation, administered a diagnostic injection, which was negative. Dr. LaMarche ordered an EMG study, which was also negative. Dr. LaMarche noted in his record some concerns about an inconsistent examination of the claimant.
Counsel, you didn't refer to it by name, but you obviously quoted the language from public freight carriers against Reeves regarding the great weight being given to the treating physician. But the rest of that sentence also indicates, or the rest of that opinion indicates, however, when it appears that the diagnosis is shaded by doubt and there is a medical expert opinion contrary to the opinion of the attending physician, then the commission of the trier of fact is free to adopt either view that they find more credible. Is that correct? statement of the law.
I would agree with that statement of the law, but I believe the commission misapplied the standard here. They did not give any weight or additional weight to the opinion of Dr. Bedard. They simply credited Dr. Wardell's opinion. Interestingly, Dr. Wardell, in his letter that he generated, he actually generated a report in the letter, indicates that he believes there was an intra-articular injury, apparently based on the mechanism of injury and the fact that he appreciated a clicking noise when he performed a physical examination on the claimant. He did not order any additional diagnostic studies, such as an injection or an EMG study, and there was a direct opinion from Dr. Bedard indicating that, in his opinion, an MRI is the gold standard for the evaluation of these types of injuries.
Didn't Dr. Wardell indicate that this was the type of injury that would not necessarily show up on an MRI?
That was his opinion, which obviously Dr. Cohen and Dr. Bedard disagreed. It was, you know,
the commission could consider that.
The commission could certainly consider it, but the employer's position is that there's no credible evidence in the record. It's simply a speculative statement made by Dr. Wardell as to...
Does your legal position rest entirely on the fact, at least as far as this assignment of error is concerned, rest entirely on the fact that, or on the argument that the commission errs as a matter of law when you have a treating physician who says X, and a patient and another physician who say why, and the commission chooses to assign greater weight to the not to the evidence that comes not from the treating physician. Is that your legal position essentially?
That is a portion of the legal position. I would say when applied to this particular case, There are cases where I would agree that a change in treating physician could...
Where would you draw the line?
In this particular...
You're saying, basically, one doctor is more credible and his opinion should have been conclusive, irrespective of any other medical or lay opinions. And it seems to me, if we were to say that became the law, then basically we wouldn't need anybody but a treating physician in any workers' comp case, period.
In response to that, I would argue that in this particular case, Dr. Bedard, who is the authorized treating physician, is due great weight. His opinion is supported by two...
Well, certainly due great weight, but as I just quoted from Pilot, it's not conclusive. At least that's the current jurisprudence.
It's not conclusive.
Can you have us change that?
I would argue in the Pilot case, there was medical evidence that I believe was rested on credible, reliable evidence. In this particular case, we have a treating physician in Dr. Bedard who indicated that the MRI is the gold standard. He did not appreciate a surgical issue.
That observation was disagreed with by another physician.
That is correct. But the commission, in their opinion, never resolved the issue of why they didn't give his opinion the weight to which it was entitled, especially
when... Does the jury have to explain why they credit one witness over another?
They do not, but in this particular case, there is scientifically reliable data in the form of an MRI study ordered by Dr. Bedard. No similar test was recommended by Dr. Wardell. He simply jumped to the conclusion that Ms. Freeman requires surgical intervention without performing any additional diagnostic studies, where three other physicians have all performed independent objective studies. An MRI, which was ordered by Dr. Bedard, a diagnostic injection, which was ordered by Dr. Cohen. Dr. Bedard also injected the claimant's knee on at least two other occasions, and then the EMG study that was ordered by Dr. LaMarche.
Counsel, do you agree that in this case the claimant had shown no progress was being made, an improvement of the employee's health condition without any adequate explanation?
I agree that subjectively she was complaining that she was having continued pain complaints, but the objective data, the scientifically reliable data, did not support her testimony. And by that, I mean, again, the injections that were administered, the diagnostic injections administered by both Dr. Bedard and Dr. Cohen, as well as the MRI exam and the EMG study that was ordered by Dr. LaMarche. The second ground of error was the employer's position that, and again, this goes back to Judge Humphrey's comment about the Pilot freight claim, but the commission erred in crediting the opinion of Dr. Wardell for the same reason I said earlier, and that is that Dr. Bedard's opinion is due great weight as the treating physician. In this particular case, there is no reliable evidence upon which the commission could rely except for a speculative statement issued by Dr. Wardell that he felt that this injury may not show up on an MRI. Dr. Bedard's opinions are fully supported by the diagnostic testing, as well as by two independent experts, an orthopedic surgeon and a neurologist, both of whom performed diagnostic studies which were normal. Again, Dr. Cohen performed a diagnostic study, including a diagnostic injection and radiographs, and concluded there was no intra-articular injury. He also referred the claimant, because of a suspicion that there may be a neurogenic pain component, referred her to either a physiatrist or a neurologist. She was seen by Dr. LaMarche, who confirmed that there was nothing on the EMG study suggestive of any kind of nerve or neuropathic injury, and concluded that those opinions were both supportive of a negative finding in terms of an intra-articular injury. The claimant has the burden of proof to establish that the treatment she is seeking is causally related to the injury, and the employer would respectfully submit that she did not meet that burden of proof of either showing that it was causally related or necessary.
We're happy to hear from you, or if you want to save your time for rebuttal, do that.
I would ask to save my time. Thank you, Your Honor.
Sure.
May it please the Court, I'm John Klein from the Norfolk law firm Montagna Klein Camden LLP. I appreciate the opportunity to be here to talk about Catherine Freeman. She was an injured worker, no doubt about it. She hurt her knee, no doubt about it. She did what she was supposed to do. She picked a doctor from the employer's panel. Who's on the panel?
Well, in fairness, what she was supposed to do and didn't do, though, was if she wanted to change positions, it's get permission from the commission.
Well, that's what she was here to do, Your Honor. She did exactly what she was supposed to do. She saw Dr. Bedard. His qualifications are in the record. He's not an orthopedic specialist. He is board certified in general medicine and surgery and occupational medicine. He doesn't do the surgery Dr. Wardell said was necessary. So, in order to get the commission to approve a change in physician, of course, as we know, claimant has to prove the need for a change in treating physician. How do you do that? You do that with evidence. She went to see Dr. Wardell. She got an evaluation. And she came back to the commission with a treatment plan from a board-certified, well-educated, well-experienced orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Wardell. Here's what's wrong. You have this intra-articular injury that needs an arthroscopic surgery. Now, Dr. Bedard had done an MRI. It was negative. You have the explanation from Dr. Wardell. This kind of injury is often not picked up by an MRI. So, the commission knows that from having seen Dr. Wardell's report, and they evaluate the evidence. They have the testimony of Ms. Freeman. Look, I haven't missed a day's work. I went to Dr. Bedard. He cut me loose. There's nothing more he can do for me. He sent me away. I went to another doctor. I'm here now, commission, asking you, commission, to approve a change in treating physicians. She didn't change her treating physician. She was under the care of Dr. Bedard, who had released her with nothing else to do twice. And she says, commission, I'm still hurting. I've got the same problems. I need help. And here's a doctor who says he can help me change my treating physician to Dr. Wardell. And the commission chose to believe her. Indeed, they said she had proven quite convincingly the need for some other treatment, and Dr. Wardell was the only one who had any other treatment to offer. Now, once she came to the commission with a report from Dr. Wardell asking for a change in treating physician, then, but only then, does the insurance company say, we'd like you to go see our choice of orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Cohen. Now, Dr. Wardell and Dr. Cohen are both board-certified orthopedic surgeons. They reach different conclusions. Exactly in the case that sets the standard for a change in treating physician, the commission weighs those contrary reports and decides, which one shall we accept? Here the commission accepted Dr. Wardell.
Can I ask you to clarify something? At what point, or can you point to where in the record the commission actually formally approved any changes in treatment?
Yes, Your Honor. In the opinion from Deputy Commissioner Jenkins, the appendix of Deputy Commissioner Jenkins' opinion begins at 180, and it's on. So it must be 184. Then, Your Honor, it's on page 4 of his opinion. His award says, An award is hereby entered in favor of Catherine Freeman, claimant against Miller Oil Company, the employer, and Old Republic Insurance Company, the insurer, for payment of medical benefits related to claimant's right knee injury, including treatment provided and recommended by Dr. Wardell for as long as necessary, pursuant to Virginia Code Section 65.2-603. And then on review, the review commission by decision by Commissioner Williams says, and I believe this is appendix page 209, his opinion on review begins at appendix page 203, and at page 209 it says, in summary, we find no error in granting a change in treating physician. In conclusion, the Deputy Commissioner's June 9, 2015 opinion is affirmed. So, if Your Honor, please, this to me is a standard case of the Commission had conflicting evidence from orthopedic surgeons. It chose which one to rely on. It also included an evaluation of the testimony of Ms. Freeman, which it found to be convincing. Do not be misled, please, by the neurologist's involvement. That was a red herring. Dr. Cohen, the insurance company's IME, said, well, I can't find any orthopedic issues. Maybe she has a neurological issue that would explain her complaints. The same complaints made to Dr. Cohen that had been made to Dr. Wardell, that had been made to Dr. Badar all along, which the commission found convincing. Now, the neurologist's evaluation, not surprisingly, came back negative. Dr. Wardell doesn't say it's a neurological problem. He says it's an orthopedic problem. He is an expert in that field. He performed an examination. He relied to some extent on the reports in the examination from Ms. Freeman, but he also relied on the clicking that he identified in the examination. That's an objective piece of evidence for an orthopedic surgeon. What's the significance of that clicking along with the evidence he has in the examination and the understandably negative MRI? He didn't worry about the MRI because he said the kind of injury I have identified on my personal evaluation of Ms. Freeman wouldn't show up routinely on the MRI. The commission chose to accept his evaluation, allowed Ms. Freeman to change to treatment by Dr. Wardell, and she hopes the court here will affirm that so she can go forward with the surgery that he proposes. Thank you, Court.
Thank you.
Mr. Rappel, how would you respond to the assertion that the Deputy Commissioner's order effectively prevents the change of treating position?
I would respond in the sense that I believe that the finding is an error. Counsel correctly stated the opinion as to what the Deputy Commissioner and the full Commission said. However, I do not believe that under the factors that have been established by the court that the claimant was able to meet her burden of proving that a change in treating physician was indicated. And I also, would respond to several of the arguments. First of all...
Well, I'm sorry. Let me see if I understand your answer. I don't want to misconstrue it. So do I correctly understand you essentially be arguing that that is a effective change in treating position, however, it isn't supported by the statutory requirements? Is that your argument?
The opinion by the Deputy Commissioner and the affirming opinion by the Commission indicate that the Deputy Commissioner feels that the employer should be responsible for the treatment provided and recommended by Dr. Wardell. That's the only finding he makes. Now, he does say in his opinion he considers the factors in the Rayner Blunt Commission.
It certainly sounds to me like counsel has a point that is, maybe it's not magic words, but it's effectively from this point forward, Dr. Wardell is now the treating physician. But I understand your argument to be if that's the case, or that might be the case, but it's not, the commission didn't make the required findings to support that change. I'm trying to understand which is your argument.
That is correct. The evidence does not, there's no credible evidence to support that finding in the enumerated factors. The other point I'd like to make is that just because Dr. Badar indicates or opines that there's nothing else he can do does not equate to a finding that there is a need for continued treatment. The commission, in their own opinion, cites...
Who's going to treat her if he says there's nothing I can do?
Well, she may, I mean, the employer contends that she may not need additional treatment. Just because she's alleging that she has symptoms does not necessarily mean she has a need for ongoing treatment. We see cases all the time where people argue that they have a need for ongoing treatment, but the treating physician is affirmative in his or her opinion that no additional treatment is required. Dr. Bedar never said that he would not see the claimant again. He never said to her, do not come back. He said, I don't have anything further to offer you at this point, but there's nothing in there showing that there was a declination of treatment or that she tried or made efforts to go back to Dr. Bedar. She, the employer, would argue that she simply did not like the opinion by Dr. Bedar, so she went to see Dr. Wardell and obtained a contrary opinion. The commission recognizes that this is a possibility in their own case because by their interpretation, they say that the lack of additional treatment recommendations may illustrate the status of the claimant's condition. The concern, as in this case, is that the claimant will then go seek an unauthorized opinion that may differ, and you will subvert the process here, and she will be allowed to treat with a new treating physician, even though the symptoms are not supported by any scientifically reliable data. And again, I would ask the court to consider that there were diagnostic injections performed by the treating physician, whose opinion is due great weight. There were diagnostic injections performed by Dr. Cohen, and there was an EMG performed by the neurologist. I do not agree that it was a red herring to send her to a neurologist. Dr. Cohen, in a thoughtful opinion, indicated that there may be another explanation for the symptoms that he wanted to rule out, which is why he made the referral either to a physiatrist or a neurologist. And the testing done by that specific provider, a board-certified neurologist, was also negative. So the employer would ask this court to look at both pieces of this. Number one, its assertion that there were no grounds for a change in treating physician under the enumerated factors. And number two, that the claimant has not met her burden of establishing that the treatment by Dr. Wardell is reasonable or necessary for the treatment of her injury.
Thank you.
Thank you.